It's Tuesday, 3rd of March, and you're listening to the Game Green Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are... Cal!
Good evening!
Hamilton!
Bonjour!
Nikki!
Ohayo gozaimasu!
And Catty!
I feel like I've been put on the spot.
Say something in a foreign language.
I don't have a foreign language.
You should have just said good morgen, and then that would have been like most of Europe.
Salutations.
Perfect. We've got a surprising amount of stuff to talk about, given that the UK closed down for 4 days because of the double bank holiday weekend for Easter. But first we'll start with what's everyone been up to this week, Cal?
Well, I've been playing Abandoned Ship, because I'm doing a preview on it, and I got a little bit of carried away playing it moments before the start of our pod. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's different. It's a tactical sort of pirate ship sort of battling simulator. Well, there's a story to it as well, but it's I don't know. It's a bit like one of the procedurally generated games where like you can get you get far into the story, then when you die, you have to kind of start all over again. But it's sort of...
I've heard that it's been compared to FTL essentially, but with pirates. Is that reductive?
Yes.
Or is that pretty much spot on?
Yeah, that was pretty much what I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to. If you've played like FTL. Then it's very much that same. You sort of build a crew, you give your tasks to different crew members, they do certain jobs. Your ship is kind of like the ship from FTL. You know, you've got individual parts which do need to be managed. But I didn't really play much of FTL, so I don't know if it's solely within combat that you have to do all that stuff, because in Abandoned Ship, you have to repair the ship and man different parts of it in combat. But when you're outside of combat, it's a big, giant world map. You sort of travel across and sort of discover new things. It becomes a bit of like an RTS. You know, when you play an RTS game and you send a ship out to explore, it's like that. You point and click to go to stuff. But the tactical side of things, you can pause, you can tell people to go here, command this, repair the ship if it gets hit and damaged, and brace yourself for the fucking Kraken, which is a bugger to kill because it hunts you down. But I am enjoying it.
That sounded like you were talking about Sea of Thieves.
Oh, that, yeah.
Come on, we all know there's no content in Sea of Thieves.
I think we should pretty much did all the content at Sea of Thieves when I live streamed it. So that was the most you'll get.
Did you only live stream it for like 20 minutes?
No, we were on it for about 3 hours. And
that's more than enough to do all the content.
I think I've seen pretty much everything that you could probably do just from that live stream and taking part in it.
I feel like I'm the only one in here who actually enjoys this game.
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the game, don't get me wrong, but yeah, go ahead.
It's just a meme, isn't it?
Let's skip about the usual order. Nikki, what have you been up to? So you can talk about Sea of Thieves.
I've been playing Sea of Thieves, along with some other stuff that, to be honest with you, I can't even remember what it is. But Sea of Thieves is an interesting title, which achieves a lot on a technical level and on a gameplay level. It is lacking in certain aspects, but it's definitely a game that has the potential to be something really phenomenal if Rare can sort of fix the servers and actually get back to putting content into the game. Because it's very much a case of the core mechanics function, they work, but the actual experiences you'll get from them is very much player driven, and how many hours you'll get from that is dependent on who you're playing with and the experiences you create. I mean, me and Kayla have put easily between us about 50 hours into this game across release and beta, and we're still loving it.
See, I think the main thing about it is, like, you can only really, truly appreciate and enjoy it when you're with other people.
Yes.
I feel that if I played it by myself, which I did try to, but the servers were just playing silly buggers, I felt like because you have to manage all the parts of the ship, you have to do the maneuvering, you have to set the sails, you have to reduce the sails, plunk the anchor and all that, it's better to work as a team. It's a very team-based game.
I have many thoughts on Sea of Thieves, but yesterday I absolutely hated the game because we had so many technical problems. I spawned in and couldn't access my weapons. It took about 10 minutes to get into the server. It was bad. But today I found myself thinking about the game. And the more I thought about it, the more I just wanted to play it. And so I came home from work and played it pretty much straight up through to the pod.
Stockholm Syndrome is a terrible thing.
Surely then you have to think, like, what if it had actually got stuff?
No, but it has stuff.
But what I'm saying is, if it had more stuff than what it has after however many years of development, plus all that excitement, would have made it a lot better.
It would, and the game is deeply flawed. Don't get me wrong. Like, the fact that they don't render anything below the waterline is awful. Like, we got attacked by a Kraken last night, and it was the most underwhelming thing I've ever really experienced in a video game before, just because I got knocked into the water pretty much straight away, and there was nothing under there. It was just, you could see where the tentacle started, and that was...
Oh.
It's a bit... And also, they don't render the anchor. They make a big thing about the anchor as, like, a really important part of the ship, but they don't render it. Nothing below the waterline is rendered.
I didn't pay much attention to that. I never really... I mean, I swam under the water and there wasn't... You know, there's foliage under the water and there's, like, fish here and there. But, yeah, it doesn't seem like there'd be much exploration to do under the sea.
There is.
Under the sea.
It's funny as well, because one of the bits of content that will be coming later on and has already been shown in, like, trailers and things, is Merfolk... in a villainous sense, and they'll be sort of the threat under the water, along with the sharks and things. But there's actually a little bit of lore that is the reason why they're not there now. It's kind of a bit of a shoehorn explanation, but essentially, someone found a chest that lures the Kraken and was like, hey, Merfolk, do you know what this is? And they all went, oh, shit, and fled the area. And the lore is now that there is a chest with the Kraken, and we know that loot is coming from the Kraken in a future point. But again, I think the solution to all the issues at the minute is if Rare come out and say, here is the roadmap, here is what we want to do and when we want to do it, and if they're really transparent about that.
I think the other solution, like, because you guys were saying that you've not had too many bugs and things, but over the last 2 days I've been playing, I've hit probably every bug that exists in that game right now. From my perspective, only having put sort of like 5-ish hours into the game, I think they just need another 9 months fill out the content and make it so that the issues that lots of people are having with the servers, with the... I mean, there's the death timer. The death timer is maybe the worst thing in this game, because you die and you get put on a spirit boat and you wait there for like 30 seconds to a minute. And then you go through a door, and then you go into a loading time to go back onto your boat. And the loading time depends on how good your connection to the server is. The three of us got stuck in a, like, 3-minute loading time, I think, yesterday, and our boat got sank.
Well, the funny thing about that was... So I was the first one to respawn, because I died first. And so, you know, I'm on the boat, I've loaded into that, I wait, I go through the door, I'm loading. The problem was, is I could hear everything going on, including the guy running around me. But what I think might have happened, and this is purely speculation, is as I was loading in, the game then went, oh, the boat sunk. So then the game was like, don't spawn there. We now need to find somewhere else here to spawn. But I was then just sort of stuck in purgatory for like 3 minutes. And when I was actually spawn camping another boat, you do load in before the screen actually shows what's there. Because I killed a guy before he even started moving, so the same thing would have happened to him. He would have been stuck in purgatory for a few minutes and then been able to come back, which is kind of harsh, really.
It's definitely something they need to fix.
Yes, they do. They really do. And to be honest with you, the servers, the at the minute, the servers are really sort of putting a lot of inconsistencies. I mean, I'm seeing lots of glitches as well where people's ships are flying up into the air. I've not seen any of that. Like, from personal experience, it's been a pretty solid, apart from the latency and rubber banding. But I do, you know, full disclosure, I'm playing on the free trial of the game pass. I've not even bought this game. I don't even know if I'm going to just yet. Still trying to work that one out. And it may be a case that I'll come back in 6 months.
A lot of people got it on the trial pass.
Yeah.
I think that was I think that's also the case that the service is actually surprisingly good for all it's worth. But yeah, I think it's one of those games that just needs more content, just as, like, even the short time I played it, I felt I don't think I could be doing this over and over. It does automatically feel a little repetitive. But it was really rewarding when we did complete that Skull Island. That was a lot of fun.
I think the issue as well is the fact, what with that guy boosting his way to Pirate Legend, the problem is there is that because Rare weren't expecting anyone to get to the top, to the end game this quickly, the end game isn't there. The end game's coming in 2.5 months' time. And we already know roughly what it's going to be, but it's kind of like, well, that's great, but people aren't going to take 3 months to get to that point. People, even the people that aren't boosting, will be there within another couple of days. The content at the moment is no
different. You also have to ask why the end game takes another 2.5 months after release to come out.
Well, exactly. The game isn't finished. That's straight up the only plausible option is that the game... The same with the Kraken. The Kraken is underwhelming. It's amazing, but it is underwhelming. And again, I love this game, but you can see that, yes, it needed that little bit extra more time.
It's a victim of its own hype, really, and the hype train. When it, you know, people played it when it was free and it was a testing phase, they only played it for short amounts of time. And in that short amount of time, they got everything the game had to offer, and they were like, this is amazing, I can't wait to see what else it has to offer. And there was not much.
I mean, it could be worse, it could be No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sea.
It pretty much is.
Yeah, but this one works.
Not if
you
ask
Cassie. No Man's Sky worked.
Wow.
No Man's Sky worked, but the end game wasn't there. Sound familiar? Also, content that should have been in there isn't in there. Like, content that was shown in E3 videos and Gamescom videos and what have you was taken out. Customization options.
I think this will be like the last thing I say on Sea of Thieves so we can actually do the podcast. I think that the make or break, there's two things that are going to really make or break the game. One, obviously, I think it was actually yesterday that people who got the game pass on launch ran out. So the player count would have just dive bombed overnight. excuse me. So that's going to be one of the things, is whether or not, like, how much that impacts it with the game pass people moving off. The second thing is they've already confirmed that there is a microtransaction store coming before the first major content update. And it's purely cosmetics, premium cosmetics. That's, you know, fair enough. But again, unless they give us a roadmap where they're more transparent, that's not going to go down well. And it already isn't, is the fact that we're getting paid cosmetics before we actually get the end game. So Rare really need to sort this out.
The other problem with the getting paid cosmetics in is cosmetics are currently the only thing you can work towards in the game. There is no progression whatsoever apart from, oh, if I get enough treasure chests, I can maybe buy a hat.
Well,
this
entire system is, you know, you're trying to become Pirate Legend, but when this first content update comes out, there'll be a new title. You'll be able to go from Pirate Legend to the Legendary Captain or something. So,
I feel they should have focused more on making something that is more permanent, giving the ships more permanence, because then you start making those stories of, oh, there's that ship that no one's ever sank. There's that player who steals from everyone and no one's ever caught them. But without any of that sort of permanence, where it's everything just disappears when you log off, you don't really get that.
I mean, yeah, it's the thing as well, is that they've banked on a player-driven experience, but unfortunately at the minute, the player-driven options the tools we have to create are minimal. I mean, there's evidence to suggest that there's going to be essentially professions, fishing, cooking, and you know, and I'd be down with that. You know, if that had been in the game now, that'd be an extra layer. I'd be like, well, do you know what? I don't want to go digging. I might as well do some fishing, and then I'll get some money that way. Oh shit! Now there's another ship, and I'm in a fight. You know, that would, you know, you could be the fishing merchant who blows up a galleon single-handedly. That'd be amazing. But again, it's I completely understand all the faults. I love playing this game, but yeah, they need to just sort out.
Don't get me wrong, as soon as we're done with the podcast, I'm going back to playing it.
Right, Hamilton, what have you been up to since we've been going for 15 minutes playing... on Sea of Thieves?
Sorry.
I've been playing Sea of Thieves. No, I haven't.
God damn it.
Just before the Easter holidays kicked in, I went on a quest around our Discord trying to remember who talked about Ni No Kuni 2 on the podcast last week. It was Dominoid, but I hounded Catty for a good half an hour.
It was terrifying.
saying, one, was it you? Two, should I buy it? The decision was already made at the back of my mind. I just needed someone to validate it for me. So I ended up buying Ni No Kuni 2 on just before the Easter weekend and spent most of said weekend playing it. I'm about two-thirds of the way through it now after basically disappearing into a hole for the weekend, and it is very good. And Dominoid was right, it is essentially like playing a Studio Ghibli movie. And that's it, really. Aside from that, you know, the usual Football Manager, etc., etc., etc.
I assume etc. is a different year of Football Manager.
No, it's still 17. I'm closing in on 1,000 hours on 2017 now.
No, I mean, Football Manager, etc., 17, etc., 16, etc., 15.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a disease. It's a curse.
And, Catty, have you been playing anything other than Sea of Thieves?
Probably. I don't know. I don't think I have, actually. No, I haven't. Not really. It's been a very slow week.
Okay. Myself, I've been playing far too much Far Cry 5, and making videos about it, or at least recording my footage so I can make videos for it. I've already put a couple up on the Game Green YouTube site, YouTube channel.
I think that game is
ready to go.
That game's one of the few games where I considered buying it solely because of the dog.
As well you should.
I'm going to wait for it to go on sale, and then I'll buy it.
I'm still waiting for... I haven't played it or bought it, but I know the ending, and I really want Ace to finish it so that we can have a podcast about his reaction to the ending.
I'm waiting for there to be confirmation of a mod that lets the animals get in the vehicles because I want Cheeseburger to ride shotgun.
I love that there's a bear with diabetes. It's great.
Yeah, but Cheeseburger is not Best Boy.
No.
Right, speaking of Best Boy, no, that doesn't work. Red Faction Guerrilla is getting a remastered edition. It's been announced.
Boo the pun.
Yeah,
it
follows THQ Nordic's Darksiders 2 Deathinitive Edition and Darksiders War Mastered Editions.
Yeah, they are good titles, but at least they're getting remastered.
Yes, Guerrilla is far and away the best Red Faction game.
Can they at least fix the ending mission?
The one where you blow up the ship.
Well, it's the thing is, like, I love that game. It's fantastic. But like the ending mission, like where you have to work your way up the mountain. At least for me, was like so un-Red Faction.
Yeah, there really wasn't much to destroy. It was just run and gun.
It has a jetpack, so it makes me happy.
Yes, that's why it's the best one. It's going to bring 4K textures, and probably that's about it, because there wasn't really any DLC.
At least it's this game and not the one that came after, where you're underground. That was terrible.
Yeah, Red Faction Guerrilla was based around open world third person shooters, but Armageddon was based more around Gears of War, horde shooting.
So there was a giant fucking worm?
Yes. Literally.
Oh, okay.
I know you were trying to be facetious, but yes, there is one.
There was also a unicorn gun that you can have.
It fired a rainbow out of its ass.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think it's good that people will get a chance to revisit this title and also experience it for the first time on this current generation, because it's fantastic. It is great. And, you know, who doesn't want to jetpack around with a sledgehammer knocking the foundations off a building, causing them to collapse in a tank?
Exactly. Yeah, it was so fun. I remember owning it on the Xbox 360, and it was just fun just to go around and just smash some shit up and then just wait for it to collapse, because it was quite realistic physics for their time.
Yeah, it was all pretty much based in reality. I can see why they're not remastering Armageddon, and Red Faction 2 was kind of rubbish. But I'd like to see the first one be remastered as well.
I don't know which the first one was.
You were a miner, and you had to escape from a Martian mine.
I thought you were accusing Nikki of being a young child then.
I need an adult.
I do remember the original Red Faction. I can't say I played a lot of it.
The first one was the first-person shooter, wasn't it?
Mm.
So was the second one. But the second one was based on Earth.
I remember how crazy it was that you could just blow things up. I loved that so much. It blew my mind. Oh, pun intended. That you could shoot through walls and destroy environments and things like that. It was crazy. I mean, Black, was it that game on Xbox 360? Black, that then tried to do it, but didn't do it as well?
Oh, yeah. Black was essentially the video game for gun nuts. Like, it was just gun porn.
It was Burnout Guns. Because it was made by Criterion. Just, let's say that.
Oh, God, yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They thought we can make explosive arcade racer, why don't we make an explosive shoot-em-up game. Quite an underrated game in my opinion.
Mm. I mean, it still to this day has the best shotgun sound effect of any video game ever.
Just googling that has reminded me of another shooter which tried to go for the whole arcade thing, Body Count. Who remembers that horrible God. Mess?
That was supposed to be the spiritual successor to Black. I remember,
really?
Yeah, I think so. I remember reading ages ago that they were saying, it could have been just the news media just saying, if you loved Black, then you'll want to look out for Body Count. But that was terrible.
Body Count. Codemasters said that it's the spiritual successor to Black because it was developed by the same team.
There we go. Yeah.
You done fucked up.
Yeah.
It's always funny to me when people say, oh, it's made by the same team behind whatever, and then you find out the game's completely different and nothing along the lines. So yes, I did love that game, but this one's a match 3 puzzler. Why is the team behind it one of your selling points? Oh, because it's your only selling point.
Ooh, burned.
Body Count had the other selling point that Chris Pine was supposed to be in it, but then they couldn't get the rights to him, so it's the concept art for the main character was revealed to just be him, and they tried to set it on that, despite the final character looking nothing like him.
Well, another game that was announced this week, No Man's Sky Next, which is literally just No Man's Sky on the Xbox One.
Nah, there's apparently a free update coming to PC and PS4, don't forget that.
Yeah, they're having to give free updates because no one's going to buy a season pass from these people.
See, I'm actually the sucker that bought the game twice.
You bought it twice.
You no longer have any valid opinions on this podcast from here on out.
Yeah.
Well, I paid full price for it on Steam and then refunded it within less than an hour.
Well, to be fair, I bought it on PS4 when it came out. I'd like to add that this entire time I was playing it, I did have a really bad chest infection, so I was probably delirious. Played it for about 20 hours. It was alright. Enjoyed it. Never went back to it. And then for some reason, it was on Steam sale for a ridiculously cheap price, so I just went, fuck it, let's play it on PC, see if it's any better. And I was like, oh, with a keyboard and mouse and a decent frame rate, this is actually better. But because by the time I'd gone back to it, they'd added the base building update, I just built a base. And then after about 20 hours, was like, I've not done anything apart from build a base.
And at that point, you might as well be playing Minecraft.
Yeah, I installed it. And no hate to Hello Games or the game. Like, it, you know, it's a technical marvel, it's a great piece of kit, but like, I just, yeah, it's not for me. I'm sorry.
There's part of me that's sort of kind of pleased that Hello Games are actually going and trying to fix their game. But there's another part of me that's thinking they're probably only doing that because they can't sell another game under that name. Like, Hello Games is now forever tainted by No Man's Sky. They either stick with this or they start again.
They're never going to be able to say, from the team that brought you No Man's Sky. Unless they don't want people to buy it. Anyway, moving on to our next topic. Jurassic World Evolution got a new trailer, and it's going to be released on the 12th of June for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Planet Coaster with dinosaurs.
Do you need to say any more?
Yeah, I think we're done with that one.
The dinosaurs will be able to break out and eat people.
Oh, goody.
Do you need to say any more?
Imagine if that had been something that couldn't happen. If they were just like, oh, actually, the dinosaur breakout mode is actually behind. It's going to be in a DLC 2.5 months months after release.
I'm noticing some animosity here.
just some home truths.
Well, I reject your reality and substitute my own.
Said every person in a padded cell ever.
Hey, mine's got Wi-Fi.
When I first started watching the trailer, I said to myself, well, I hope it has the ability to summon natural disasters, such as SimCity. And then partway through the trailer, you see a typhoon rip through the park and then tear down some fences that the dinosaurs escape through. I was like, oh, well.
Nice.
The thing is, why would anyone ever want to build a successful park?
So you could go around and look at dinosaurs.
To prove to Hollywood how easy it is.
But they're only good when they're rampaging through crowds of people, surely. I suppose the payoff's better if you make a lovely little Jurassic Park, get thousands of people there, and then accidentally delete a section of the T-Rex fence.
Exactly. You need to be successful to then have the epic catastrophe follow.
Exactly. It's like Roller Coaster Tycoon, where you build a giant roller coaster and then place the track in line to the queuing customers and then watch them go.
Or Craig Mr. Bones' Wild Ride.
I'd be interested to see, I don't know if they've announced this or anything, but I'd be interested to see if there's going to be like a secondary mode to that, where you have to come in and save a park that's been... So you have to, like, corral the dinosaurs and fix Jurassic Park. So I think that's something that
sounds
interests
like a
me.
Tutorial to me.
Oh, but, yeah.
There'll probably be a scenario mode like that.
So I think that'd be cool, just having a way of fixing the mistakes of the past.
You have to fix Isla Nublar.
It'll be a partnership with Visera cleanup detail. You know, you'll just have to clean up the aftermath of the
dinosaurs. Don't tease me, Cal. Don't tease me.
All the dinosaurs are just like, oh, God's sake. It's got to clean up.
Be still, Cassie's heart. Right, Next up, we have the PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live games with gold for this month were announced. On Xbox, we're getting The Witness, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Cars 2, the video game, and Dead Space 2. There'll be freebie feelers and articles going up on the sites in the next couple of weeks, so you can find out whether you're going to enjoy what you're getting for free.
Play Dead Space 2.
Yes.
What if you haven't played Dead Space?
That's fine.
Doesn't matter.
To be honest with you, like, they do a good enough job to recap it, and there's enough difference between the two games that it's fine. Like, play Dead Space 2. Just do it.
What if you're scared of horror games?
Well, I mean, if you can get past the first 30 seconds, then you could be fine for the rest of the game.
Yeah, the first introduction is quite fucked up, but it's so good. And it's the opening part of the game, actually, is actually really good as well.
And to be fair, they've got that covered for you, Ace, because if you don't like horror games, you can just play Cars 2.
Yay. Yeah.
That's scary on a whole different level.
That's true, yeah.
I, ironically, just the other day, I found my disc for Cars 2 from the Xbox 360 and went and installed it. And then these games popped up, and I was like, oh, well. It was bought for my son, not for myself.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, you say that.
On the PlayStation Plus, they've got Mad Max, Trackmania Turbo, In Space We Brawl, and Toy Home for the consoles. And on the Vita, you get 99 Vidus and Qbert Rebooted.
Play Mad Max. Do it now.
I've played about half an hour of it.
It's good.
Yes. Yeah, it's alright. It does the job.
I think it depends on how... I really enjoyed it up to a point where I was sort of like, okay. Once the whole of the open world opened up, I was like, oh, that's a whole load of nothing.
Mm. There's a lot of stuff where it's like, you explore the whole area and it's like, oh, okay, there's a water place. Oh, there's a base here. Oh, there's this. It's a collectathon of things to do. But it's a very
pretty game. I thought the game was significantly smaller than it was, so I spent like 10-ish hours in that first sort of starting area, thinking that
being
going through there would be the end of the game, and went through there and it was like, oh, and here's the rest of the game. I'm like, oh, okay then.
Game Grin's Cal gave it 7.5 out of 10.
I didn't say it was bad, it was just, you know. I would have enjoyed it more if it was like,
when it
just
works,
Cause.
It works really well with that game. But the thing is, only having like an amazing looking set piece explosion or car chase once every hour of gameplay isn't really enough.
Yeah, and I found the tediness of it quite annoying. Like, you go to refill your can, and you have to sit there and watch him refill it.
Oh, God, yeah. So much holding of buttons.
Holding of buttons, and, like, you do this, and you've got to refilling your the canister for petrol. Got to watch an animation. Got to refill the car with petrol. Got to watch an animation. It's just, it did get rather tedious. But when you got into combat, and even the fighting combat, well, it's very much like Batman's fight system. It's pretty good. Although a little bit of a dumbed-down version of it.
Well, Game Grin's Reese gave Trackmania Turbo a 9 out of 10. Although I don't know if we're going to be doing a Freebie Feelers article about it, because in November last year it was free on the Xbox One. I don't know what the policy is.
I think someone's already put their name down, so that's probably already going to get covered.
It's probably Dawson, because he did the last one. He's just going to copy and paste it.
Why not?
Our last news piece was a late edition. The Warner Brothers community blog forum announced that Middle-Earth Shadow of War is getting free game updates in July, which are going to remove all of the microtransactions.
Now, the biggest problem... I disagree. I don't think it's too late. I think if they do their updates well enough, they can potentially save this game for the future. For people like me, who haven't played it yet. But they've kind of...
The butler did it.
They've spilt egg on their face quite significantly, in the sense that, if you remember when this game launched, we were talking about this back then. Or more appropriately, the microtransactions in it, and they were saying it's important to the progression, it's important to the game. And now they've come across and said that, I want to get the exact quote. "We have come to realize that providing this choice risked undermining the heart of our game." So they've either an admission that they were lying to us, or that they are very stupid, because everyone told them that 6 months ago.
I think we know the answer to that one, to be honest.
Oh, well, yeah. But
if you still plan on buying some gold, you have until May. 8th of May, you're going to no longer be able to buy gold. And then 17th of July, you're no longer going to be able to spend gold, because they're going to be removing the war chests and market.
That game, I'd actually forgotten about it until I saw the news. And that's the shame. I've completed that game. I collected every single thing in that game. I forced my way through it as a massive Tolkien fan. I bloody loved Shadow of Mordor. I thought it was exceptional. And Shadow of War was just a big old slap in the face. There was so much promise and so little delivered. So little of it. If you go and watch their reveal at E3, and I know that's a bad idea, you should never watch the E3 reveal and think that's what the gameplay looks like. But they had this whole set piece that was in-game. It was actually in-game, but around, I don't know, about 50% of the stuff that's in that video, not in the final game. Stuff like character set pieces, your orcs turning up to save you. Well, they do in the actual game, but they do it in a very canned way that happens again and again and again. There's so much stuff missing from it. And I forced my way through it, and I finished it, and after I put it down, I was like, thank God I no longer have to think about this game anymore. If they make a third one, then I suppose they will, won't they? If they make a third one, or if they create another game on the Nemesis system, a superhero game would probably benefit great from it, then I'd hope they've learned their lesson and make it a little bit more appealing. And basically just took a big old steaming poo on poor Tolkien, who was already spinning his grave, according to his grandson. It's probably spinning so fast I could plug him into a generator and power a small third world country.
I'm kind of glad you said that, to be honest with you, because I've been eyeing it on my Steam list for some time, thinking to myself, should I reinstall it? Should
just
I
replay it? Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah, because I was, when I first got it, I put, I don't know how many hours. I played it for about 10 hours. And I still already started noticing the grind of it already. And it was a lot of running about, a lot of go to this, go to that. Even I found the orcs a little, repetitive, very samey already. I was like, and of course the marketplace. It kept alluring me towards the market. So it was only now that they were there saying they were removing the loot boxes in the marketplace that it sort of piqued my interest and maybe go back to it. But from what it sounds of what the end game is going to be like what Alex has said, then yeah, I suppose I'll just leave it. And if I ever want to go back to it.
They did say that they were going to change the end game to make it more narrative driven and less of a endless grind. But I don't know what kind of changes they can make at this point. And it's sort of it's a damage done thing. I will briefly mention the elephant that still hasn't left the room in Sea of Thieves, but it's sort of the damage has been done, and you'd have to do something pretty monumental to claw people back at this point, especially since the game's been out for a long while.
And it's still 4 months until they remove gold.
Yeah, just trying to get those last few coins.
If you have gold, or do not spend all your gold, you will instead get, once it goes away in July, you will be given items. It doesn't say what the items are. And as part of the new update, that because it's a content update as well as removing microtransactions, they'll be updating the Nemesis system, giving new skill tree additions and new player skins. Seems odd that they'd introduce new skins when they're removing the microtransactions, but
I don't know, it's just a big PR disaster, that game. Like when they had their member of their staff died from cancer, and they created a character especially for him in the game and then sold it for some reason. There was a big mix-up, and that was another big gaffe by them, so just write it off at this point.
Yeah, we covered it on the podcast a while ago, but yeah, they were donating the proceeds towards a cancer charity, but
only if you bought it from select countries.
Yes.
So sorry, I think
Cat was scratching the door.
I don't know if ours counted as well. I couldn't remember if ours was going to charity. Or which is,
it was also not even all of the US states either.
No, it was like 40 states or something like that. Maybe not even that many. And I think Canada was left out as well.
Well, blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
Thank you. Right, our last, the last thing that I'd like to talk about today is...
Can we get the cat on?
No. It was April Fool's, just mere days ago. And plenty of developers and publishers pitched in. There was a Farming Simulator Commodore 64 edition announced, and RuneScape getting an advanced warfare skill. CD Projekt Red was hiring a dog, basically. Daily responsibilities in a nutshell: optimize tail wagging. We offer you belly rubs.
Can I be like a curmudgeonly old man for a minute?
No.
Okay.
Go on.
Is anyone a little bit sick of this at this point? Like, it was fun for a few years when people used to announce these like April Fool's jokes, but it just seems like it's become half a joke and half a corporate marketing strategy at the moment. It's just like everyone's got to, we've got to have our April Fool's joke. It's got to be good. It's got to be funny. And it's like, even though on April 1st, you know, you should always read the news and be like, oh, okay, well, that's obviously look at the date and stuff. But like some of it just seems so like, I don't know, just hail corporate, you know. Some of them seem like genuinely quite fun, but like, it's just, at the end of the day, I suppose at the end of the day, it is marketing, isn't it? So I don't know what I'm talking about. I'll shut up.
You weren't fond of any of the Game Grin April Fools?
No, they're all awful.
I was offended by the one of our... Never trust Dominoid with a list again.
See, it seems like the trend is like, they look at the trends of this year and it goes, oh, what's popular this year? Battle Royale games. Okay, announce our game that has nothing to do with the sort of battle genre, and let's make our game a Royale game. Like, because you had Path of Exile. So it's not the type of game that you'd find Battle Royale. We'll put Battle Royale in. April Fool's, Halo Wars. Oh, Battle Royale.
To be fair to the Path of Exile people, they actually did make that. That is a game mode you can go and play.
It's, don't get me wrong, they did.
It's unbalanced to all hell, and if you play with a bow and arrow, then you win. But
I was upset by one of what Pigeon did. They did for War Thunder. They did a pirate April Fool's, and it was based off. They're currently making a battleships type mode. Because they're doing all of them. They're doing what tanks does. So they've got airplanes, they've got tanks, and they're now working on the battleships. And every now and again, they do trial and tests for it. But one of the April Fools was pirate ships, and it was awesome. And I really liked it. And then it was like, April Fools.
Didn't they also do one where, while you're fighting in the planes, well, I think this was a few years ago, a giant snail is attacking the city around you, firing lightning bolts out of its antenna.
Titanfall many years ago did Optimus Prime,
as a titan. And if that was a genuine skin, I would have that. Who would not want Optimus Prime?
Pokemon Go brought basically with like brand new tech, like graphics, and it's all the 8-bit pixels, but they're not keeping them. They're only staying in the game until April 7th, and it's like, no, please keep these. These are adorable.
I wonder how many of these Battle Royale things were just like testing the water a little bit as well. Just like, oh, what? but what if we announce it and there is interest and everyone wants it, then actually maybe we can like make money, stupid, silly money like Fortnite.
That's what I think Capcom were doing. Mega Man Date My Robot Master, a dating simulator where you can date Gemini Man and Woodman and Splash Woman. Actual characters.
Sounds a little bit like a fan fiction.
To be fair, the best April Fool's prank was for Vermintide 2 with the announcement.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, the mute Kerrigan DLC. Carillion. I've missed Carillion. It's because Kayla's playing StarCraft recently, so I've got Kerrigan on the mind. But yeah, mute Carillion. That was. I'd actually quite happily have that.
Yeah, she annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah, but she's great, and she needs to stream.
What's the matter, Mayflies?
Mayfly. Oh god, Valve did one. They did Counter-Strike Global Offensive for PlayStation 4 Pro. Coming October 2018. But it's a joke, but... Okay. The thing is that the console versions of CSGO were shite, so I don't even know why they joke about it.
There are a number of good ones. Payday, the animated series, Need for Speed, Traffic Jam, Eevee, the Pokemon announced for Tekken 7. Oh, and Final Fantasy 14 Online Go.
Yes.
Where you can mine and... what are the other things? You could mine ore and reap crops and whatever the hell you do in that game.
I quite like the Kingdom Come Deliverance one, which nods at Oblivion, which says it's going to have, because they announced they were going to have horse skins.
See, that's a good one. That's a clever one.
It'll be announced loot boxes and horse skins.
And it wouldn't go far.
Services
past.
Which include optional digital monetization, when done properly, can provide a very important element of choice which can extend and enhance the experience in our games.
See, you laugh at it, but it's typical because that's what basically gaming has become. So it's a bit funny and sad at the same time when a developer makes a joke about it.
Sorry, just to go back to the CSGO on PS4 Pro. Has anyone actually watched the video they made for it? They did a See It in Action trailer, and there's a bit where it's got aim assist, and they've just got a guy holding the controller, mashing buttons, and he's just getting kills. it's definitely Valve's sense of humour.
I think it's one of these, the Final Fantasy Brave X, whatever it's called, like it's a joke, but to be honest with you, like the complete 3D remake is actually kind of awesome, and I kind of want this, but it's an April Fool's joke, and it's like, but why you put all this effort into it?
The a couple of subreddits obviously got in on the fun. Our games got put up a mega thread for Cyberpunk 2077 reviews, and it was all made up outlets, and they were all giving it 10 out of 10. Literally everyone, 10 out of 10, 100%.
Oh, I saw that was good.
Except for Jim Sterling. And the blurb was, I've gone back to giving scored reviews for this one because it offended me. I've given it 77.
I quite liked Riot, the developers of League of Legends. They had their two. They had their, well, they had their standard one when they released new skins. This time it was pizza delivery Sivir. So she's like a boomerang and turns her boomerang into a pizza, and fried chicken Galio. He's just wearing a fried chicken costume. Their other one was more one on them. They had a thing on the API that lets you sort of just mess around with stats and things that was supposed to tell you your true MMR, so like where you're placed in the things. There's no way of seeing that in-game anymore. But it was supposed to be a joke that gave everyone Challenger, but it never worked. And apparently they spent quite a long time trying to get it to work during the day of April. So most of Riot spent most of April 1st trying to get a little API that was a joke to work.
Right, and that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Cal, Hamilton, Nikki, and Katty. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Greencast. You can find Game Grin on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Remember to check out our Twitch stream from 8 PM BST every single day. And you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. And while you're at it, game on.